This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Danny Alexander. Steve Kraske is off this week. If you've driven along Westport Road and seen the colorful intersection where it meets Wyandotte Street, then you've seen one of the concepts of street smarts design and build at work. While you are very aware of how the artwork painted on the asphalt brightens up all four corners of the intersection, you may not realize what it actually does, and that is it makes for safer and quieter streets. Duran Netzel is the principal and founder of Street Smarts Design and Build, and he's here to explain how the visual magic works. Duran, thanks for taking time this morning coming in. I appreciate it.
Good morning. It's an honor to be here.
So explain the mission of Street Smarts, because it's more than painting intersections around town. I mean, I went to your website and I was like, oh, I was actually kind of like, I spent some time there. I was up a little later than I should have been going through some of that stuff, but give us an idea of what you do.
Yeah, we're an urban design and build firm, so we do a lot of design work, but we also build out the design work that we do. We really focus on creating walkable communities and cities, particularly focused on the pedestrian realm, often the most vulnerable users on our streets. But we also do a little bit of public space and streetscape work as well, really anything that can be done to improve the public realm of our cities.
I found the term traffic calming on your website, and I thought it was a really apt description of what these projects accomplish. So let's break down the Westport intersection elements to understand how this happens. You extend the curbs. How and by how much?
Yeah, so the first aspect of our design there, and often in many intersections, is creating a four-way stop. So we're forcing cars to stop before they move through the intersection, which forces them to move at a much slower rate. It gives pedestrians the priority, and it makes it safer for everyone. In Westport, we had a lot of asphalt to work with, so we had four quite large curb extensions formed by half-ton boulders and 36-inch polyresin planters with native trees in them. And that kind of carved out the space. It keeps cars out of there. It also provides seating. And then it creates that canvas for the artists to do their masterpieces in.
So do you have an idea of how much space you actually extended those curbs out by, roughly?
I know in total we reclaimed about 4,500 square feet of asphalt.
Oh.
We shortened the pedestrian crossing distance in half.
That's the next thing I wanted to ask you. Why did the – I mean, it shortens the crosswalk. You can see that. But what was the advantage and the purpose of doing that?
Yeah, so the less time that the pedestrians are in the road, the safer they are. The shorter the crossing distance they have, the safer as well. But narrowing those travel lanes also encourages drivers to come through the intersection a little bit slower.
And I can attest to that, because the first time I ran up on that, I literally was like, you slow down because all of a sudden there's all this visual that you're seeing that I hadn't seen before. So it does make you slow down. And then you see the stop. And I will say that people are much more fearless now walking across that intersection. I think the pedestrians have gotten used to the fact that it's being very effective in that regard. But how did you arrive at this concept?
Well, I live in the neighborhood. I travel through that intersection quite often with my wife and now my one-year-old son, and have always found it to be extremely dangerous and daunting. But we've also noticed there's so much asphalt there. And so we thought this was just the perfect place to reclaim this space, test out this concept. And our data has shown that it's working very well. We decreased average traffic speeds by 45%, reduced the crossing distance in half for pedestrians. An interesting bit of data is we also lowered the average noise of the intersection by about 11 decibels. So we're really creating a calmer, quieter intersection that is much more enjoyable to spend time at.
The artists that you select, I'm assuming you use local artists.
Yep.
Okay. How do you select them?
Yeah, so in both projects, we have two different partners in these projects. The first one's Midtown KC Now, local CID along Main Street, and then the second round is Kansas City Artists Coalition. Both of those organizations are responsible for the community engagement as well as the artist facilitation. And so in both projects, we issued an RFP to the broader community.
And you have to explain what an RFP is.
Yeah, a request for proposal. So we asked artists to submit their ideas, give us their experience, and let us know what you can do. In both projects, we formed a community selection panel made up from the different neighborhoods to select the artists. And we've had a ton of great submissions. It's hard to turn away some of the artists, but in both projects we took some of the runner-up artists and found alternative canvases for them. So in Westport, we painted a building wall mural, which is beautiful and vibrant.
Oh, which building? Which mural?
Camp Bow Wow, just to the east of the intersection. It's a very beautiful vibrant mural. And then here in the second project at 12th and Benton, there's a utility box on site that had been tagged with a bunch of graffiti. So we took one of the runner-up artists and she put a mural on that. And then we've been observing the 12th and Benton, every day we're watching people stand at the bus stop, and it's just like heartbreaking to see people standing in the sun. So we built two bus stop benches and asked one of the runner-up artists who was not selected for the asphalt to paint her design on that bench or those two benches. And she's a teacher and she brought some of her students along to help her.
That's great.
I can say quite confidently they are the most beautiful bus stop benches in the city.
And I'm sure that riders appreciate that, really, having a little bit of beauty. I mean, it kind of, you don't expect it to, but it kind of brightens the day when you see something like that. It just has that effect. So do you go for a certain look, or are you kind of like, when you have these artists come in, you're kind of like, pretty much anything goes, just give us your ideas?
Yeah, pretty much. We give them total creative freedom. We do limit them to a particular color palette, just to kind of have some cohesiveness between mm-hmm. the different pieces of art, but they have total creative freedom, and all artists have really created very unique, vibrant, fun pieces.
They are. How long has the transformed intersection been at Westport and Wyandotte?
So it'll be 2 years in October. We're finding
tells you how long it's been since I had been through Westport, because I didn't see it till this year.
Yeah, and we're finding these projects do require some maintenance, for sure. A really great aspect of a Westport Road project is funding now has been secured and allocated to make that project permanent.
Oh, that's excellent.
So Midtown KC Now will be overseeing that project. The asphalt art will come up, and it'll be replaced with permanent curbs, landscaping from the trees that are in the planters, ADA ramps, and sidewalk extensions.
So Could there be a future where you envision that these aspects, when there's new roads put in or road improvements made, that these aspects be permanently installed as part of, you know, we're going to be replacing the curbs, build them out, round them off a little bit, you know, or add these elements to it? Do you see that as a possibility going forward?
I believe so. The way I understand it, KC Moe has a complete streets ordinance, which I think requires designers to look at the complete streets aspect when they're doing roadway improvements or new construction. And I think absolutely that's the future here. Something I love about these types of projects is we're able to do them almost instantaneously with very little money, probably a tenth of the cost of what it would cost to build out permanently. And then also we use kind of materials that can be adjusted and tweaked so we can experiment with it, make any adjustments for any unintended consequences, and it just allows us to really understand the design before it's made permanent.
And this is probably going to be the really silly question, but is there a particular paint that you have to use on asphalt so that it stays or wears long enough?
Yes. There's oil and grime and all kinds of mm-hmm. other wild stuff in asphalt. So we do need to use a particular type of paint. I've experimented with a few different types of paint. In 12th and Benton right now, we're using a very expensive paint. It's about $120 a gallon. We also came in, huge thanks to KC Moe Public Works, did a bunch of patching at the site to prevent any ponding and the mm-hmm. potholes. And then our crew came in and we sealed the asphalt with a driveway sealer. And so the combination of that, along with the expensive paint, I think is going to allow this artwork to last quite some time.
So that's something you'll also be watching then, too, as you test these paints out, is how long they actually wear. And I'm sure new ones will be coming along all the time. What did the artist say anything about working with that particular kind of paint? Was it a different experience for them than, say, working with oils or acrylics like they might normally do?
Yeah, so this paint actually is 100% acrylic.
Ah.
And so the artists were really surprised and pleased to know that. And they're telling us it's got great coverage. It appears to be adhering well. And, you know, these artists have such fantastic design, but when they start, they kind of just put down some background colors. And even just having the background colors on the street really creates some vibrancy and fun. But then when they come and add their unique personal touch, it really makes it fun.
So, and I'm getting kind of stuck on the colors. So you said you asked them to work within a particular palette range, color range. What is that range?
Well, we kind of switched it up on them halfway through.
Oh, they must have loved that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The community selection panel that we put together had some exciting ideas and tweaked it a little bit. But we've got some red, some blue, some yellow, some purple. And then they're also mixing that paint. So they're kind of creating their own shades of that mm-hmm. color.
What do they think about it when they're done?
They're getting tired in the heat. You know, we've been out there for a while now. It also wears on you being right next to traffic. kind of realizing this intersection is very busy. But I think everyone's happy. You know, we're getting a lot of people walking and driving by saying, oh, I love it, or it's so cool, or thank you for doing this in our neighborhood. So I think everybody's going to be really proud when we finish up.
This paint, you said, is going to last longer. The original that you tried, how's it been holding up as you've been seeing? Because you live in the neighborhood, so you, I guess you get to see it fairly regularly.
Yeah.
How has it been holding up?
So we have four corners, and what we're finding is two of them on the west side of the intersection collect water. And so the water ponds there, and that's making it tough for the paint to stay. The designs are still there. There's, you know, you can still make out what they are, but they are rougher than certainly they were 2 years ago. On the east side, where the road has more of a decline, they're holding up really well. I've been quite pleased with that. But these are definitely semi-permanent interim projects, and so we don't expect them to last forever. We really hope to just get a few years out of them until the funding can be secured to make the projects permanent.
And you mentioned earlier that this is, relatively speaking, inexpensive to do. So just how, relatively speaking, inexpensive? What number are we looking at here?
Yeah, so both of these projects, funding was provided by Bloomberg Philanthropies, and the project budget is $25,000 for each project. And to put that in context, you know, the permanent build-out for these types of projects is probably up to about $250,000. So we're able to realize the improvements, make it fun and beautiful, and experiment with the proof of concept for about one-tenth of the cost of the permanent
and
build-out.
And I'm guessing that might make a lot of planners very, very happy in the city.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's something that we can do, you know, frequently and often and in other parts of the city. And the big thing for me, and I think for designers and regulators, is we're able to experiment with this. So we're not pouring curbs or doing something that can't be easily moved and replaced. So if we find out things go wrong, we can easily make adjustments.
Are you getting a lot of interest now, people that your neighborhood's going, hey, do that here, we want to see that at our intersection type of thing?
Yeah, definitely. I heard the other day that the PIAC request from the neighborhoods asking for city funding, the by far the biggest ask is traffic calming in neighborhoods. And really, in my experience, nearly every neighborhood in Kansas City would like to see traffic slow down through their neighborhood.
Is this something you might actually work with, like neighborhood associations, kind of bring them in to help with the logistics and the planning and stuff, that type of thing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're very neighborhood-oriented, right?
Yeah, And the first project we worked with, Heart of Westport, this 12th and Benton, we're working with the Likens neighborhood and Independence Plaza neighborhood. And those guys have been wonderful to work with. They welcomed us with open arms. And at 12th and Benton, we have two pedestrian median islands that kind of provides a refuge as you're crossing. And within those spaces, we painted the Likens neighborhood and the Independence Plaza neighborhood to kind of help identify and brand the neighborhoods, but also a shout out to those neighborhoods for welcoming us and being so great to work with.
That's Duron Netzel, principal and founder of Street Smarts Design and Build. Duron, thank you for your time today. I'm looking forward to seeing more of your intersections around town.
Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.